Becker on Darren Donick and Chase. TJ Houshmandzadeh will tell us a little bit more about the next opponent for the Titans. Of course, former Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver. That's who's next up for the Titans. They will actually go on the road for the first time in a while. They will take on a Bengals team coming off a heartbreak loss to the Browns on Sunday. We bring in Alan Bell from Sportsline. He now joins us. Alan, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, gentlemen. Y'all doing all right?
We're doing fantastic. Sports betting in Tennessee, huh? It's about to be a really big thing. It's here. And now people have the ability. How much do you think that is going to change? Kind of, you know, it's one thing with us talking about it, but the fact that you can actually do it now in this state legally, what do you think that means for the state of Tennessee?
Yeah, so first off, I mean, I think it's great because you're going to tap into a market that is massive and brings a lot of revenue. It's going to bring revenue to the state. Now, it'll take time for the, you know, market to mature. But yeah, I think it's going to be good. And you know, you're going to see a lot more, you know, fans, football fans, et cetera, around the state of Tennessee, Nashville, et cetera, that get into the games, you know, strictly based, you know, kind of on this. I mean, most people watch, they already have a team, et cetera, things like that. But you're just going to see more interest. I guarantee that you see TV ratings locally, boost, early. There's just going to be a lot of interest, man. I'm excited to see how it goes, you know, how it all plays out this weekend.
Yeah, and how do you think that, you know, the big companies like DraftKings and FanDuel and stuff that we've known them, it was really, you know, we've really talked about for most of the time of their existence is like daily fantasy, right? That became the hot thing. And we know that drives people to the product as well, right? Watching the NFL game because, wow, I can – do this on a daily basis and change my roster every week. And wow, this is cool. This is something totally different. And now they're in this realm. So you've got both bases covered. Pretty interesting for football.
Yeah,
fans.
Absolutely. And, you know, daily fantasy DFS is a massive, massive market, especially considering this year of how weird that it's been. You look fantasy football, you know, across the board. I know, you know, over at CBS Sports as a whole, you know, fantasy football, you know, signups, et cetera, things like that were down roughly 25-30%. And that's, you know, across the board of all the major, you know, media companies, you know, that host fantasy football on their sites. So you're going to have, you know, big interest with that too. Because again, you know, last night you could play it exactly what it is, you know, in one night spurt. So you're going to see it last night, Monday Night Football. You'll see it tonight in the World Series. It's exciting, man. And the best part about it, if people haven't ever played it before, you know, you can get in on these things and, you know, it costs you $1, $2, $4. Like it's not terribly expensive, to get involved. And it's a ton of fun. It really is.
Yeah. We were actually giving out Sportsline odds on Friday concerning a possible landing spot for Antonio Brown. Of course, the Titans were in that top six odds. Seattle was the favorite. Tampa was way up there as well. And then we would learn shortly, you know, after we were off the air for the week, that indeed Antonio Brown had picked his spot, and it was going to be in Tampa. Well, we talked about it in the first hour. We went down to Tampa, obviously. Interesting situation in that market with the Rays in Game 6 tonight of the World Series. The Lightning have won the Stanley Cup, and the Bucks are off to a 5-2 start, and they just acquired Antonio Brown. They're already, Alan, scoring more points than anybody else in the NFL. How do you think this dynamic is going to work?
It's incredible. So first off, thank you for using Sportsline odds. We appreciate you on that. And second, it's crazy what Tom Brady does to a city, right? Like they just immediately start winning titles. When this guy gets down here, I'll say this. At William Hill, the Tampa Bay Bucks are now the betting favorite to win the NFC. And,
wow.
And what I mean by betting favorite, yeah, is they've got more money placed on them than anybody else. You know, I don't know if they're, you know, good enough to do that, but this team is good. I mean, they're legit, and they're getting better. We'll see what Antonio Brown can do. Hopefully it doesn't blow that team's locker room up. But they're good, man. And what, you know, what they don't get credit for enough is their defense. I mean, all the focus is going to be on Tom Brady and Gronk, et cetera, things like that, rightfully so. Their defense, they're the only team in the NFL that's allowing less than 3 yards per rush. Like, I mean, their defense is bona fide legit. And they seem to be getting better and better each week. So, yeah, keep an eye on them, man. They're a fun team to watch.
Those linebackers are sick in Tampa, yep. Man. They're a fun group to watch, like you said. All right, so I wanted to watch the World Series Sunday night, and I did, but I could not also turn away from Arizona-Seattle. Now, going back to the fantasy angle, you know, when you have Kyler Murray and you have DeAndre Hopkins on the same team on your fantasy team, you're going to tend to pay attention to what they're doing, and it ended up being a tremendous game. But here was my takeaway from that, and I'm going to ask you which one, in your opinion, if you had to choose one, it's going to affect the most down the stretch. I came on here yesterday and said I kind of see Seattle and Tennessee as the same type of teams. You know, they're not having any trouble scoring on offense. Things are rolling right along on offense. They're both really good teams. They were both 5-0 teams going into this weekend, and they both came away with tough 3-point losses. And what's their weakness? Both can't get to the quarterback. Both, by the way, I don't think Seattle had a sack in the game, an overtime game on Sunday night. And they didn't get to Russell Wilson, Arizona, until overtime. But they can't get to the quarterback. They can't slow anybody down. So in your opinion, moving forward, one, how can both Seattle and Tennessee, who are built to make a long run in the playoff, how can they fix their defenses? And who do you think their deficiencies on defense is going to affect the most in the second half of the season, as in you don't believe they're going to be able to turn it around enough to make a long run or get into the playoffs and make that long run?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'll tell you, I mean, that's a great observation. Both teams are extremely similar. The problem for both of them is exactly what you said. One, they can't really get after the quarterback. And two, their pass defenses are just giving up massive amounts of yardage. Now, Seattle is much worse than the Tennessee Titans are. I mean, the Titans have their third down issues, but, you know, the Seahawks are giving up over 1,900 yards in the air, which I think is the most for a 5-win team in the history of the Super Bowl era. Like, it's really, really bad for Seattle. So to answer your question, I think Tennessee is much more, kind of primed, for better success. The problem is that the AFC is much more stronger than the NFC is, and that hasn't been the case the last 3 or 4 years. Usually the NFC has, those four teams, at the top that are really, really good. It's kind of flipped this year with the AFC, so the Titans might have, a little bit more of a difficult road, per se, to get there, but I think the Titans are a much better team overall. Plus, the Titans' offense is extremely diverse. Not that Seattle isn't, but a lot of that is Russell Wilson. But the Titans, the Titans' offense, they can line up with Derrick Henry. They can have a run game and beat you. They can beat you in the air. But that's a good observation because both teams really kind of play the same style. And they've had some really big second half and fourth quarter comebacks, basically out of necessity. So to answer your question, I'm going to say Tennessee. But, yeah, that's a good observation for sure.
Alan Bell is with us, CBS Sportsline. And, Alan, I think you have on your mind what we did earlier in the show when we saw this, that Stephon Gilmore could be available to trade by the Patriots. It makes some sense. He kind of fits the profile of the type of guy that they've been willing to deal before, a year too early as opposed to a year too late. What do you think would be the asking price? Are we talking first-round pick to get a guy like that?
Well, that's a great question. So, with Stephon, the big thing for New England is going to be the cap space. And the big team, the big thing for a team trading for him is going to be, picking up his contract. I think he's got $24 million or something left on it. So with that, it's kind of understood that, hey, if the Patriots really want to make this deal, you might not have to, necessarily give up too terribly much because the price is, kind of high of what you're going to have to take on. So I think you could get him. You're looking at I think probably maybe a second, a third, something around there. Like if we look at trades, there really haven't been any, massive, first round type, pick trades, except for Bill O'Brien of the Texans, and he's not even there anymore. So I don't think that the trade away price is going to be too terribly expensive. It's just, can you afford him moving forward? And that's a tough part for the Titans, because if you look, obviously they're secondary, they're pretty heavily invested. And the Titans don't have too much cap space to work with this year or next year. Now, they could make some moves on some contracts and, kind of rework some things. They definitely have those options available for John Robinson. But, yeah, it's going to come down, can you afford to pay him or not?
So, Alan, looking around, related question. Do you think the Patriots feel like they can get back in the race? They looked awful on Sunday, but the Bills, as you point out on your Twitter, they have a negative point differential, so they're having some issues right now. They had problems putting the Jets away. We know how bad the Jets are. The Dolphins are making the quarterback change to Tua. It seems to be still kind of a wide-open division, but are the Patriots good enough to take advantage of that?
That's a great question. I mean, the division is there for the taking. It's certainly not wrapped up by anybody. The problem for New England is their offense. I mean, take a look at this. Cam Newton is their leading passer, obviously. He's their leading rusher, which is crazy. And he has more receiving yards than three other Patriots wide receivers. And we're talking about him getting benched. Like, that's the problem, is that he's their best player by far, and he might not even be good enough to start. So I don't know where Bill Belichick's head is in terms of the season. I know that, you know, he's never one that wants to quit on a season or anything like that, especially when he sees that he can win. But he also understands that, you know what, like, this team does not have much money to work with, and it's going to be difficult to rebuild this roster because they, quite honestly, they have a massive, massive job in front of them of fixing their offensive line, fixing their run game, they have no wide receivers, they have no tight end options. I mean, they have so much work to do out there. It's wild to see that. So we'll see. You know, Belichick's never been afraid to trade anybody, but the difficult part is that Stephon Gilmore is different, and he's a guy that Belichick absolutely loves and wants to build around. So I don't know if he trades him or not, but if he does, I mean, it goes to show you that there's going to be a subsequent move after that to acquire as much talent as they possibly can.
What are the, how have the odds on the Dolphins changed since they've decided to go with Tua as their quarterback?
Well, you know, not too terribly much. I mean, there wasn't really any, you know, big, you know, futures bets or anything like that on them. And, you know, you're not going to see too much of a swing in terms of the spread, especially with them coming off a bye. What's going to happen is that there's going to be a market correction right after that game. People are going to take a look and see what Tua is about. There will be some bets come in on Miami's favor just because a lot of people like Tua, and it's exciting and it's something new. So, people, you know, the public always wants to get behind that. But you're not going to see too terribly much in terms of large, big bets, things like that. But if Tua goes out, plays, takes down the Rams, you know, Sunday, and has a good game doing it, you're going to see a massive amount of money come in on Miami just because the public is going to want to get behind the kid so much. So keep an eye on that. If the Dolphins win, watch their spread the next week. There's going to be a ton of money coming on them.
We're talking to Alan Bell from Sportsline, mixing in some NFL and some sports betting as it gets ready to come to Tennessee. So you saw Pittsburgh against the Titans this weekend, and now Pittsburgh, the only undefeated left, as they lead the AFC North. What are the odds right now in that division? Because you got Cleveland that's not going away, but we also know about Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
Yeah, so you see a really tight market in the AFC North. Obviously, the Ravens are still they're still the betting favorite from the public because so much money was on them previously coming in. But you're seeing Pittsburgh get more and more money each week. So you're looking, you know, at a plus, you know, 110 for the Ravens to win, a plus 120, you know, for the Steelers to win the division. And then the Browns are going to be, you know, somewhere around plus 250, somewhere around that number. But it's interesting just of how good that division is. And, you know, having three absolutely viable teams that can do it. That Browns loss to the Steelers, especially the way that it went down, it really, really, you know, hurt them, you know, in terms of, you know, faith, you know, from the betting public, you know, on the Browns to do it. You're going to see a lot come in, you know, after this week, after the Ravens and Steelers play Sunday, because of not only it being, you know, obviously a division game between those two teams, but just because those two teams are just so massively popular. So if the Steelers pick that up, watch for it to flip and the Steelers to be sitting in the favorite. But Pittsburgh and Baltimore will be neck and neck, you know, basically for the rest of the year, unless something drastic happens to either team.
Yeah, that line has been fun to watch because it opened. Pittsburgh was plus 5.5. Now it's down to 3.5. And you think, Do you think it moves anymore, or how do you think that's going to look when they kick off on Sunday?
Yeah, I think it will. Now, it probably, you know, the lowest it could go is probably 3, just because, like you said, there's been so much movement already and so much money. But again, you know, here's where, you know, betting, think of betting, you know, from a national perspective, the same way that you think of like TV ratings, right? So teams that are, you know, just massive, just national brands, the Cowboys, the Steelers, the Packers, et cetera, things like that. The public bets them hard, no matter what. Right, like the Dallas Cowboys are still getting massive money bet on them week in and week out, you know, in their favor. So it's very, very similar to that. So watch, there's going to be more money come in on Pittsburgh as the week goes. But once it gets down, you know, now that we're looking at, you know, kind of a you know, a key number of three, watch how money comes in on Pittsburgh, and then a lot of money, you know, probably Saturday comes back in on Baltimore. So it could get as low as three, but I bet it probably lands, I would say probably Steelers plus four is where I think, because there will be a lot of money in a market correction come in on Baltimore later.
All right, I'm going to give you my lock of the week, and I want you to tell me what you think. Okay. Seattle minus three at home against San Francisco.
I'm not against that whatsoever. The only thing that worries and concerns me, if San Francisco starting to pick themselves up, and they're such a diverse offense that they can essentially do it from anybody and everybody, you know, on that roster. But again, it's hard to bet against Seattle, you know, for them to lose 2 weeks in a row because
Bingo.
They are such a good team. Yeah, so I'm with you on that. I don't disagree whatsoever.
Russ is going to be PO'd for greatness when they kick that game off on Sunday. Hey, Alan, we appreciate the time, and looking forward to the tweets and the banter back and forth with you as we talk some betting, because it's finally here, and it's nice to not be talking about it's coming. It's nice to be talking about that it's actually here, so we appreciate it.
Oh, you're so right, and I look forward to that too, and can't thank you guys enough for having me on. I really appreciate it.
He is Alan Bell from Sportsline, and I know we will be talking a lot more with him about the NFL and sports betting. And speaking of, Darren, you have a word about DraftKings.
I do. Legal sports betting is indeed here in our beautiful state of Tennessee. And the best way to get into the action is with DraftKings. DraftKings is bringing their experience as a leader in daily fantasy sports to the sports betting world, and have created America's top-rated sportsbook app, DraftKings Sportsbook. To celebrate this momentous event, DraftKings is giving everyone who registers now a $50 free bet to use once DraftKings Sportsbook is fully operational in Tennessee. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code 1025GAME when you sign up. Those who sign up right now will get a $50 free bet to use once the mobile sports betting hits Tennessee. That code again, 1025GAME, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem or wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack. There's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.